So if the mother has a high level of decay in the mouth, chances are that the child will have a high level of decay.
Kiraprox aims to create 1 billion healthy smiles. A healthy mouth means a healthy body and mind, creating better health for you. Great oral health starts from day one. It's never too early to start. Kiraprox Baby gets your child on the right path of starting healthy oral care habits for life.
This podcast is supported by Epimax Baby and Junior. The range of Epimax Baby and Junior Gentle All-Purpose Emollient Moisturizers is an all-day, everyday favorite for babies and children. Give your child a good start to every day by nourishing and protecting their skin with Epimax.
Here on Parents and Baby Brunch, we thought it would be an excellent idea to bring an expert to our studio that can talk about pregnancy, oral health, and how this affects our baby. Just so you know, our last podcast on pregnancy and oral health was one of our most listened to podcasts ever. So it's exciting for us to bring back this topic and to flesh it out even more. Please give a warm round of applause to the president of the South African Association of Pediatric Dentistry, Dr. Tshepiso Mfolo. And the studio goes wild.
Thank you, Ilana, for having me here. I am super excited to also be here.
What is the most recent findings that us as parents need to know when it comes to pregnancy, oral health, and our children?
Ilana, that is such a beautiful question because oral health is linked to some of the adverse effects that happen in pregnancy. So in pregnancy, you know that there are hormonal changes. So there are alterations to hormones. So you have your hormones like progesterone and your estrogen. So they are quite elevated in pregnancy. So these particular hormones, when they are elevated, they can cause an inflammatory response. And then what is more important is that it can affect the baby when they're born. So you can get preterm labor. You can get low birth weight. It has also been linked to preeclampsia. So I think it's very important to take care of the mouth in order to take care of baby's arrival.
Are you trying to tell me that oral health and everything that goes on in our mouths can have that kind of effect on baby through hormonal changes? So if we don't take care of our oral health, we could be, for lack of a better, we could be harming baby.
Definitely, we could be harming babies because if you look at it, we have something called vertical transmission as well. If a mother harbors a high level of the bacteria called mutant streptococci, if your bacteria is high, therefore, the likelihood of you passing it to the baby is also very high. So those practices like kissing your baby when the dummy falls and then you wipe it and or sharing utensils. If the mother, which is mostly the primary caregiver, if you have high levels of that mutant streptococci, you will definitely pass it to the baby. And remember that also in the tummy, the teeth start to form as well from 6 to 8 weeks. So the tooth buds start to form right there and there. And then from the age of 13 weeks, that's in utero in the tummy, 13 to 16 weeks, your enamel, your dentine is also forming inside the mouth. Okay. So the mother's oral health does affect the baby's oral health.
What about the dad? Let's just quickly, I mean, I've got a whole list of questions here, but this is mega interesting. Could the father's genes play a role in the type of teeth that my baby has?
Yes. If you talk about in terms of genes, I mean, we talk about things like malalignment and things like that. Yes, the paternal side also can have, you know, you know, skeletal, you know, compositions. It can, you know, if we talk about genes, but in terms of the transmission as well, fathers, you know, it's not immune. They can pass if they also have high levels of mutant streptococci. Even the caregivers, they can also pass that. That's why you should not allow anybody else to be just kissing and kissing and kissing children, because if they have a high level of mutant streptococci, definitely they are going to pass it to baby, and the likelihood of having decay is quite high.
So, doctor, not to make fun of our research, right? But I remember even before COVID, when people visit the house, if the baby's prim, we sanitize or we ask them to wash their hands before taking baby, you know? How do you check if someone is carrying the bacteria and go, you know what? No kisses to the baby. No hugging, okay? You can wave and hold.
Yeah, Ilana, there's no other way you can check. I mean, you don't have your mouth mirror. I mean, waiting on the doorstep and saying, come open your mouth. Let me check if you have mutant streptococci inside there. But you can take a precautional measure and say, no kissing my baby.
It's so interesting. So there's a language of precautionary measures that one takes to people who is visiting, holding, and even to self, I guess, when handling baby.
Yeah. When handling your baby, yes, I think you can make that statement and say, no kissing my baby, no sharing the utensils with my baby. Also, with the nannies or with the mothers often, we tend to taste the food before it goes inside the child's mouth. So that practice is not good. So obviously, that mutant streptococci travels through the saliva. So if you taste that food, that saliva is a vehicle. So that mutant streptococci also travels with it.
Unless you don't have the bacteria, right?
Unless you don't, but I mean, how would you not know you have plaque inside your teeth? You've always got, look at you. You know, sometimes it lays dormant in there. So you do have plaque. You definitely have plaque. You have a level of streptococci inside your mouth. So I really don't believe that anybody's mouth is really squeaky clean. Hence, we brush twice a day and we have dental floss, you know. Have you ever flossed your teeth and then taken out the floss and just smell the floss? It's like you've never brushed your teeth before. Guilty as charged.
Doctor, no comment. Okay, so again, it's a question, right? Mm-hmm. What's the worst thing that could happen? So now I have carried the bacteria from my mouth to my child, or people have kissed the baby, you know? Yeah. What happens? What happens if they get my bacteria or that of the caregiver or the dad?
Yeah. You see, with dental caries, which is the decay that I have been talking about. You know, I mean, that saliva stays in there. I mean, it can, there are studies actually that says that streptococci can inoculate, you know, inside predentate, the children who don't have teeth.
Doctor, English? What does that even mean?
Before they have teeth.
So the bacteria can do what?
Can stay inside, you know, the mouth of children who do not, of infants, you know, who do not have teeth yet. So that's why it's so, so important not to let anybody kiss your children. But what can happen is that, I mean, if you have dental caries, remember dental caries is a public health problem. And if mothers don't send the children for a dental visit, I mean, a dental visit to an oral hygienist, you can have a dental therapist. You can also have a dentist. So people tend to think that you just send to a dentist. There are other oral health professionals that can be able to look at your child's teeth, especially when you are at a preventative point. So that's why we always say that before one, establish a dental home. The child needs to establish a dental home. You need to find a dental home for your child. And then as well, continuing on that, they need to have, you know, twice a year the dental visit so that we can check all of that. We can't stop it, but we can mitigate. I think if we can prevent before we can see it, we have the apparatus, dentists and oral hygienists and dental therapists, we have the apparatus to detect, you know, something that is starting. So I think inculcating that behavior of visiting an oral health professional quite early is very important.
Do you think that we actually, that there's so much out there that we just don't know? We have no idea the impact of oral health and how it can affect our baby's growth beyond just the mouth.
Definitely. I think oral health, for a very long time, it has been sort of like the stepchild to health. You know, people don't take care of their oral health. And I often talk of a phenomena of, can you just put the mouth back to the body? Because people take care of their bodies, but they neglect the mouth, and everything else starts in the mouth. So oral health is a human right. I think people don't take it seriously, but it's a portal to the rest of the body, you know? So we share common risk factors with other diseases. We share common risk factors with heart disease, with lung diseases, with diabetes. Oral health is a very integral part of the general health.
What kind of oral health issues are common in pregnancy?
In pregnancy, you get what we call pregnancy gingivitis. So gingivitis just basically means gingiva is the gum. So an inflammation of the gum. Mm-hmm. So pregnant women are quite prone to these type of dental diseases. And if that is also not treated, you will have periodontitis. So periodontitis involves the bone now area. So hence we get tooth loss as well. So, and then when you have dental erosion as well, most of the pregnant women have morning sickness. So when you have morning sickness, they tend to vomit. So when they do that, unfortunately, some of them brush their teeth immediately because, I mean, it's a foul mouth inside. They just want to get rid of that, you know, that smell in there. So what they do is they brush immediately. And we always say, please just stay 30 to an hour. Don't brush. Just rinse with water. Or at times you can just use a teaspoon of bicarbonate of soda and just have a rinse with that, because it will neutralize that acid in there. So dental erosion also happens in pregnancy. And then the saliva as well might be quite limited, all right? So we talk about xerostomia. So there might be a limited flow of that saliva when you are pregnant. And saliva is a natural buffer. So when saliva is a natural buffer and you have limited saliva, then you're prone to having tooth decay, because saliva carries all those minerals, all those calcium in there to remineralize the tooth and make it much stronger. You also have what we call a pregnancy tumor. So it's not as big as it sounds. It's quite benign, but it happens in pregnancy, usually in the second trimester. So we just generally advise the patient, if it's asymptomatic, meaning that if it's painless, then you don't do anything about it. You go to the dentist, but you don't do anything about it. But obviously, if it's symptomatic and it causes a lot of bleeding, then they can excise it. But sometimes just postpartum, it just goes away on its own. But if it doesn't and it's causing difficulty in brushing and it's a lot of bleeding, then we advocate for excision.
What are some of the myths that exist around our oral health and pregnancy? You know, oh, just leave it. It's going to clear up, you know.
Yeah.
Who needs a dentist when you're pregnant? It's just 9 months. 8 in my case.
The biggest one is that the baby takes the calcium from the mother.
I've heard this.
So the baby is not some mini kleptomaniac somewhere taking the mother's calcium.
I used it the other day with my hair. My kids wanted to know how come their hair is thicker than mine. And I said, it's because I gave all my hair to you.
Yeah, but actually it's a, you know, It's a quite a common myth that when you are pregnant, then you lose a tooth. Mm. But there's a physiological effect that happens around that. So if you leave the plaque for quite a long time, I talked about the gingivitis going now to periodontitis affecting the bone.
Yeah.
So if the bone is affected, you know, the gum recedes and the bone is also exposed. And sometimes the bone, If the bone is affected, then the tooth becomes loose. Hence, you lose that tooth. Not because of the baby, but because you have not, sometimes it's because one has not been taking care of their oral health quite well. So that's why another myth is that we don't visit the dentist when we are pregnant. So that's why I'm such a big advocate that pregnant women should visit the dentist when they are pregnant, because we can see this coming from a long way through.
How closely is the mother's oral health linked to that of baby? I mean, at this stage, I want to carry my toothbrush with me and my floss and bicarbonate of soda. I just want to brush the whole time.
Do that. Brush the whole time. I think I'd have more brushing than no brushing at all. So, yes, through that vertical transmission. So the mother's micro, you know, the oral flora does affect the baby's oral flora. So if the mother has a high level of decay in the mouth, chances are that the child will have a high level of decay. Think about it. If a mother does not visit the dentist, does not have meticulous oral hygiene, chances are, I mean, the children mimic what we also do. You know, they don't mimic what we say, but what we do. So if the parent is not brushing twice a day, they're not using floss, they're not visiting their oral health professional, that's exactly the trajectory that the child is going to take.
So let's talk about collaboration quickly. I mean, there's so much information out there. There's so much. So I want to talk about the people collaboration first. When we talk oral health in pregnancy, in our children and in our family, who are the experts that we need around our family in order to support?
You know, that's such a important question, because I love integration. I'm for integration of oral health, you know, into maternal health services. So your gynecologists, your midwives, especially the midwives, because they tend to see the children even when you go for antenatal classes. So for me, that collaboration is important. That's where we can add the oral health component into the antenatal classes as well. The gynecologists, we talked about preterm labor and low birth weight. So I think that's an important position to place us with gynecologists, so that they can be aware this can happen. So the oral health is very important for the mothers. For midwives, I collaborate with midwives quite a lot because I see them as instrumental. They see our babies, you know, quite often. Pediatricians, lactation consultants, because, I mean, you know, you have tongue ties and things. So we need to get the kids also to be eating well as well. So it's very important that we collaborate with the other maternal health services. So oral health must be integrated in all the maternal health services.
The collaboration from all these things and buzzwords out there. Okay, so doctor, you need to say yes or no. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
Okay. Does the type of toothbrush you use in pregnancy play a role in oral health?
Definitely. The toothbrush.
Yes. Say.
Can I elaborate on
you
that?
You can, I guess.
Okay.
There goes my quick fire. Because even I want to know more. Okay, so
the toothbrush is very important. So you want like a soft, you know, bristle brush as well. I always also say to my mummies that the small head is also very important. You don't want something that is triggering also the morning sickness as well.
Right.
So the type of toothbrush is also important. Soft bristles is not how hard you brush, you know, but it's the technique in a circular motion.
Fluoride in toothpaste for mom while she's pregnant in order to take care of our oral health.
There's a lot of literature around the use of fluoride. I'm a fluoride advocate because fluoride remineralizes the teeth.
Floss or no floss? Come on, doctor. What's a toothpick?
Floss every day, all day. Floss, you know, floss I think is the most underrated thing in oral health. I love floss.
Floss is so useful. Do you know that the other day I fixed my daughter's bag by sewing with floss? It works. It works because it doesn't break or tear, right? So, yeah. I mean, we've got floss everywhere. I've got floss in my car. I've got floss in my handbag right now.
But that's the thing. That's the trick. That's what I tell my patients, that put floss everywhere so that you can be able to floss. You can. I've got floss in my car as well.
I flossed before I saw you. Because I knew you would look at my teeth. You see?
And I did. And they're beautiful.
Thank you. I can see your floss too, doctor.
So you must put floss strategically everywhere. On the side of your bed, put floss everywhere because it disturbs that bacterial adhesion. That's what you want to do. You want to disturb that plaque adhesion onto that tooth surface.
What about these sticks? So the one side is a floss and the other side is a pick. Yes or no?
It's okay. It's okay. You can use that. For me, it's the habit, the mechanical removal of that plaque. So somebody's doing something, removing the plaque interproximally, which is in between the teeth. Good for you. If that works for you, good. You know, when I floss, it's very weird. It reminds me, like, I must smell that floss. It reminds me to floss all the time. I tell that to my patients and they never go without a floss.
Ever again.
Ever and ever again. Because once I brush my teeth and then you floss and then like, but did I even brush my teeth if you smell that floss? So that's why it will make you floss again and again and again.
What are some of the miseducation out there that you encounter? That you come across, that you realize, sure, if ever I had a podcast opportunity, well, this is it.
Yeah. For me, it's actually the attitude around it is that baby teeth don't matter. They fall out anyways. So I've heard that 1,000 times that, you know, parents neglect to even brush their teeth, let alone buy any gadgets for the kids to brush with. So for me, that's the message that I want to send out, that even if the primary teeth, the baby teeth fall out, they are as important because they, you know, for space for the permanent teeth, it's quite important to have the baby teeth because they direct the direction of the permanent teeth. And so for me, that is the biggest misconception around babies and the teeth.
What are some of the oral health top tips that you have for our pregnant moms?
For our pregnant moms, I'd like to brush. Brush is very important for me. Brush twice a day, in the morning and also at night. I have this thing that I tell my patients. So you brush in the morning to keep your friends, and then you brush at night to keep your teeth because nobody's watching you then.
Either that or your partner.
And then you floss. For me, flossing is important. And the mothers can also chew the xylitol gums. You know, you promote salivary action. Remember I told you about the buffer action of saliva. It remineralizes the teeth as well. Dental visits. I cannot overemphasize dental visits. And eating while you are pregnant. Remember, pregnant women also go through different types of hormones and they have cravings. And they eat a lot of snacks. And sometimes they eat snacks that are cherogenic, which is bacteria causing. So it's very important that they munch on or snack on healthy snacks as well. So the nutrition is very important so that the child also can have a healthier upbringing.
What about snacking after you were pregnant? I mean,
even after you're pregnant, you know, it does affect you. I will go into the Stephen's curve and talk about the critical pH level so that you should not reach, which is 5.5. So I would not go deeper into my lectures, but it's as important before pregnancy and after pregnancy, because those carbohydrates, if those fermentable carbohydrates stay, you reduce that pH to 5.5. And that's where demineralization is taking place. So when you're constantly snacking on things like chocolates all the time, then, you don't allow remineralization to happen. I'm not saying we shouldn't eat chocolate because I do, but it's about the frequency of eating those snacks as well.
You've had two boys and they are beautiful soccer playing children. If you look back at being pregnant and some of the early education that you wish you had, I mean, I have learned a lot today. What would you say it would have been?
For me, it's the visit to the dentist while I was pregnant as well, because I did not have that information. And that was like 15 years back. I didn't have that much of the information to visit the dentist, you know, me being the dentist, you know. So I did not have that particular information. And then information on soothers as well, the type of soothers that I should be using for my children as well, because one of my children also was a mouth breather. And I wish I had information in terms of, I did not breastfeed for quite a long time. So having being in this maternal health space, I've also learned from physiotherapists. You know, the collaboration is coming again. I've learned through lactation consultants. I've learned through midwives. I've learned through so many things that affect the oral cavity that I wish I knew then. So maybe I could have breastfed for longer.
Doctor, this has been amazing, and we wish you all the best in theatre and out of theatre with your family, and also with educating and supporting so many parents, moms and moms-to-be. For this podcast and many others, visit babybrunch.co.za. Also, our last conversation around teeth. The last time we chatted about teeth was around from bump to the first tooth, caring for my baby's oral health. You can find that on babybrunch.co.za.
This podcast was supported by Epimax Baby and Junior. Epimax Baby and Junior is dermatologist approved, free of artificial colorants and fragrances, and is safe to use from birth. Touch, nourish, love your child's skin with Epimax Baby and Junior. Available from leading pharmacies and retail stores.
Curaprox aims to create 1 billion healthy smiles. A healthy mouth means a healthy body and mind, creating better health for you. Great oral health starts from day one. It's never too early to start. Curaprox Baby gets your child on the right path of starting healthy oral care habits for life.